Thank you all for coming out today. I know a lot of us are away on various things. It's summertime now, Fourth of July, or not quite Fourth of July weekend. But it's also the, a lot of our members are at the Gay Pride Parade today in St. Louis, and I hope you'll excuse me if I preach and run today, but as soon as this is over, I'm headed there myself to join my family over there, so. And I'm trying out some new technology today, so bear with me a little bit here, so. The title today of the talk that I have chosen was, Is the Unitarian Universalist Association, or denomination, a prophetic church? To some, that might sound kind of strange to use the word prophetic. But I choose that word because it is a sacred word, and it denotes a sacred being and a sacred time, that which those of us in church use to change the world. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. What does it mean to be prophetic? Does it mean to speak with the voice of God? Not necessarily. Does it mean to speak for God? In the Old Testament traditions, we see prophets who were given, reluctantly given a charge by God to speak to certain groups of people who were being too sinful or doing things too wrong, and they were to correct them other ways. All these prophets were always very reluctant too. I mean, some of them ran away and had to be swallowed by large fish apparently, but but that's the old notion of what it means to be a prophet and to be prophetic. If we together are part of a covenant that accepts God as an ultimate master and Jesus as the one who was sent to save us from ourselves, we might feel ourselves called to speak of the truths that are found only within that faith and what we perceive from Scripture there, or what maybe what we expect as a reward in the next life. Although many progressive, left-oriented Christians speak with powerful voices that they would say truly emanates from the truths that God has revealed to them in Scripture and in tradition, and from the power that they receive in prayer, but does that leave those of us who are not part of that covenant mute and unable to speak because we do not perceive the same gift of revelation? I would say that's a big no for me. Punishment no longer empowers us. We have recovered the sense to do what is right. We belong to a new covenant, which opens up to us many new revelations and many truths that propel us to action. In fact, our movement, many people refer to the Unitarian Universalist denomination as a movement. And I think that's a very fitting description because we are a group of people who are trying to move and shape the world as we see. In fact, I think that term speaks of prophetic tradition, this movement of Unitarian Universalists. The thing that I want to instill in that movement is the thought that the Unitarian Universalist Association is radically incarnational. Christians use the word incarnation to mean God who has become human in the form of Jesus Christ. That is the incarnation of God as human beings. But I think we can use the term incarnation to show that we are that divine spark, and what we as Unitarian Universalists draw from all sources of tradition, all faiths, including the Christian faith, but also the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, the Hindu faith, native faiths of all people. We have radically included this divine spark into all of us, and therefore we are incarnated as well. Here and now is what we strive for, not our eternal reward in or punishment in some other place. But to accomplish what is divine in all of us right here, right now, in this place, in this world. I'm going to read several quotes today, the first one being from George Marshall, who wrote the book Challenge of a Liberal Faith. When I am asked if I believe in God, I am either impatient or amused and frequently decline to reply. All I know, all I want to know, is what I have found in my relations with my fellow men. And am I glad beholding of the universe a reality of truth, goodness, and beauty, and that I am trying to make my life as best as I can as to the dedication of this reality. When I am in a thinking mood, I try to be rigorously rational and thus not go one step farther in my thoughts and language than my reason can take me. I then become uncertain as to whether or I or anyone can assert much about God and fall back to content into the mood of Job. When, however, in preaching or in prayer, in some high moment of inner communion or profound experience with life among my fellows, I feel the pulse of emotion suddenly beating in my heart, and I am lifted up as though upon some sweeping tide that is more than the sluggish current of my days. I find it easy to speak as the poets speak and cry, as so many of them cry, to God. The last time I was in the pulpit here, it was about a month ago or a couple months ago, I ended my talk, which was entitled, One Day I Woke Up and Realized I'm an Atheist. I ended the talk by saying, the more atheist I become, the closer to God I get. That sounds kind of contradictory, I know. But what I was speaking of was the incarnation aspect of the faith that I have chosen, where the old notion of God is forgotten, and the more positive, realistic divinity that resides within each of us is revealed. Each of us is called to be a prophet of the truths that are revealed from our sense of incarnation of the divine. James Luther Adams, the great Unitarian Universalist theologian, took the phrase that Martin Luther used. Martin Luther described people as the priesthood of all believers. But Adams turned it to the prophethood of all believers, because he understood that each person's place in the present history as one who speaks for the truth with that divine spark always in our possession. The quote I listed today in the order of service comes from the response that we read. You are the prophet, for there will be no one other who will speak and act now. This responsive reading I brought here today was used in the meeting that I went to back in May in Washington, D.C., where I was invited to go to the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender lobbying organization in the country. I was invited to go and attend a workshop there and do some lobbying with Congress for several things there. And this is the responsive reading we read in an interfaith service that was there. We had people, ministers, priests, rabbis from all many different faiths, and it was a beautiful experience. One of the things that I'll not soon forget, and I want to expound on that today a little bit farther. Just a little bit later, I'll talk a little bit more about that. Another word that I want to insert into this talk today, other than prophet, is a strange African word that is I was recently introduced to called Ubuntu, or Ubuntu. Sorry, I always pronounce it wrong. It's Ubuntu. And there's a new cartoon on TV called The Good Family. If you ever see The Good Family, the son, who is an adopted son from South Africa, although he's white, his name is Ubuntu. So it's also the a name of a popular computer program that I'm using on this computer right here. So. I always wonder what the term meant. And I read this quote from Archbishop Desmond Tutu that says, the word Ubuntu means that you are a person who is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good, for he or she has the proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished, when others are tortured or depressed. A word that takes our language to a new level of understanding. It's amazing to me the languages of other peoples. English is kind of a restrictive language. We have one word that means one thing, but in this African language, they had this one word that means so many different things, and it encompasses so many feelings that it's probably difficult to translate. But this is the best translation that I have seen of this word. So prophet and Ubuntu are two of the meanings of the Unitarian Universalist Association for me. Another meaning of the word prophet I got from Matthew Fox, who was a one-time Catholic priest, but was kicked out because of his beliefs. He says, all are called to be prophets, which is, in his definition, to interfere with injustice. So being a prophet is not only to speak the truth, but it's to be active, to seek out injustice, to place yourself in its way, and to do whatever you can to prevent the injustice. So how do we apply this prophethood that we have been given here in this church? There's so many different things that we do here. Saturday lunches for people who are needing a place to go for a good hot meal and good company and comfort. We provide that the fourth Saturday of every month. We're involved with the United Congregations of Metro East, which does so many different things for so many different people in the area, in terms of health care, workers' rights. There's name any social justice avenue, and somebody in this church is involved in it. But what I'd like to focus on at the end of this talk today is same gender marriage, which is a topic that we've talked about many times in this church. A civil right that's long been denied. A civil right that, and a group of people that needs straight allies like myself. One of the things that I learned when I went to this human rights campaign workshop in Washington, D.C. was how to be a straight ally, how to fight for the rights of people who have long been denied. I recently, on NPR, heard a quote. We were talking about this is the 40th anniversary of the Stonewall riots. It's actually today is the exact anniversary of the Stonewall riots. If you don't know what that is, a bar called the Stonewall Inn in New York City, on this day, June 28th, 1969, was raided by the police. This bar had been raided by the police many, many times in the past. And the patrons, frankly, were sick of being harassed, and they fought back. So 5 days of riots ensued, and this had given this riot and harassment by the police has given rise to the gay liberation movement and the beginning of the gay pride parades, which we'll be joining today. So in commemoration of that, on NPR, they were talking to they had a commentator, and he described homosexuality as like duck hunting. He said, because you either practice it or you're against it. And he said, what we need are people who are straight allies to say that we stand together with you and are not against it. Stand shoulder to shoulder. I also heard a quote from the singer Rob Thomas. Some of you might probably not familiar with him. He is a very popular singer with young people today. He writes a blog, and he wrote recently about the Proposition 8 in California, and he described himself as a straight man with a big gay chip on his shoulder, and that's how I like to describe myself today too. So some people have said, why are gay people so interested in marriage? Why, what's the big deal about marriage? You know, why they can just exist together, live together like they always have been. But with marriage comes certain rights and responsibilities. And I think the definition of marriage, this is a great time to change the definition of marriage, because in the past, marriage was for convenience. It was to join families together. It was a very patriarchal situation, where male and female, and male certainly was the dominant partner in that relationship. Marriage was always for procreation too. Many religions have said that the only purpose of marriage is for procreation. Well, let's change that definition to say that marriage is a partnership. Many of you, and I'm sure all of you, have experienced this in some way, form, or another. And I think in this church, we certainly recognize that, and we don't profess to engage in a patriarchal relationship. But the definition can now be changed, because we can say, we can look to those same gender-loving people who have this relationship. It's not for procreation. It's not for patriarchal domination. It's not for money. It's for love. It's for being together. It's for being partners. I'd like to read a quote also from our outgoing president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, Bill Sinkford, who actually quotes a writer named Jonathan Rauch, who said, "The sky will not fall if gay people are allowed to marry. Civilization will not tumble into the sea. The divorce and illegitimacy rates will not double. They will not even change noticeably. Other states will notice this. They will see married gay couples woven into the fabric of their communities. Slowly at first, and then with increasing enthusiasm, more states will embrace gay marriage, not because they have to, but because it works. Because we have committed partnerships that work, not based on patriarchal domination, not based on procreation, but based on love and respect." Here in Illinois, we have something that's kind of in the works, and that's something we can do about. There is a House Bill 2234, which is the Illinois Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Unions Act, that would give people the same gender or the right to engage in a civil union. This bill was to be voted on recently, but with our budget difficulties here in the state of Illinois, was kind of pushed back, and it's gone back to committee again, to the Rules Committee. So it's not dead, but it's still not been voted on yet. And so I've made that part of my mission as a member of this church, to let our state representatives know how we feel, how I feel here as a person of faith, to let them know that it's important to me and that I want to see this bill passed. One of the things that we stressed at the meeting I went to in Washington was that you have to let these representatives, congressmen, know that you are a person of faith. You're not just somebody who has an axe to grind, but you're a person of faith who feels that this is a good thing, a prophetic thing. Many times, people from the other side, people of faith, are the louder voices, and we as people of faith need to be just as loud and just as strong. I am proposing something that I plan to do about this today and engage in, and I'm sending out an invitation for anyone who wants to join me. One Sunday every month, I will be in front of this church from 6 to 7 p.m., weather providing, holding a silent, not so silent sometimes, just holding a prayerful vigil until this bill gets passed. So once a month, I'll be out there in front, and whoever wants to join me is certainly welcome. We'll have our banner. We have a banner that we have at this church that says, can't remember exactly what it says, I think laws don't make families, love makes families, something to that effect. We may get other banners too, and I'll be standing out here beside that banner in front of City Hall here, and do whatever I can to let representatives, people, politicians know that I am a person of faith that feels the prophetic need for this issue to go forward. So that's my invitation to anyone who would like to join me. And I'll start tonight, so. All here in this church are engaged passionately in some action in the community, but we all need to embrace our prophetic calling and show the incarnation that we have all inherited. And I'd like to close with a quote again from Reverend Bill Sinkford, who is the retiring president of the UUA. "This country's growing pluralism is a blessing, one that the founders of this country could never have imagined, but for which they prepared fertile ground by writing their egalitarian ideas into the foundational documents. What we should be doing in this country is continuing to expand the circle of those we include in the promises made in our Constitution. And I believe that despite the backlash we see every time the circle is widened, it never really shrinks back to where it was before. People learn how much less there is to fear than they had feared. The arc of the universe is long," said Martin Luther King, quoting the 19th century abolitionist preacher Theodore Parker. but it bends toward justice. And I heard it said that it's a rainbow that bends toward justice. This insight is not mere dreaming. It describes our actual history as well as the history that we have yet to create. So may it be. Let's join in our last hymn, number 170. We are a gentle, angry people, number 170.
We are a gentle, angry people.
Everyone rise, please. Sorry.
Are singing for our lives. We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing for our lives. We are a justice-seeking people, and we are singing for our lives. We are a justice-seeking people, and we are singing for our lives. We are young and old together, and we are singing for our lives. We are young and old together, and we are singing for our lives. We are a land of many colors, and we are singing for our lives. We are a land of many colors, and we are singing for our lives. We are gay and straight together, and we are singing for our lives. We are gay and straight together, and we are singing for our lives. We are gentle, loving people, and we are singing for our lives. We are gentle, loving people, and we are singing for our lives.
We reject hate that is disguised in the language of love. We reject love that is disguised in patrimony. We reject union that is disguised in heterosexism. We reject equality that does not include everyone. Go from this sacred space we create here into the sacred space that surrounds us all. Be a prophet, not of the one true faith, but of all faith that gives life and meaning to each living being that we encounter. Peace and love be with you always. Amen.